5:44 on your Wednesday morning, another cloudy one out there. Special air quality statements continue to be up on the west side of the province, parts of central Saskatchewan this morning as well, not for Regina, but hugging the Alberta border and even up in Saskatoon. It was very smoky there yesterday. Didn't really amount to much in Regina. Still keeping an eye on that for you this morning. However, in Regina, at the airport last night.
Please stand by until we get more information from Porter. If you did have a checked bag, it will be coming out on Carousel 1. We ask that you pick up your bag shortly.
Yeah, the breaking news that we are bringing you in the newscast this morning, a Porter Airlines plane flying from Hamilton to Vancouver had to make an emergency landing last night at YQR. We got the update from airport CEO James Bogus.
At around 8:20 tonight, a Porter aircraft, flight number 483, declared an emergency and diverted to YQR. Basically, it means it's landing here unexpectedly, as we normally don't have Porter service. The plane did land safely. All of the 91 passengers have disembarked the aircraft and came through our terminal building. We understand that they're going to be making their arrangements to stay in a local hotel. Our emergency response crews were involved, meaning we have our local agencies from the city of Regina, our own airport fire service, as well as our own staff here to support any potential issue. Beyond the declared emergency, not sure what the cause was. That'll be something Porter will have to investigate themselves, but our crews follow a regular procedure with any emergency that may be declared by an aircraft. So yeah, essentially our staff showed up, made sure that folks had what they needed to get off that plane safely, which is exactly what we did.
James Bogus, again, the CEO of the Regina Airport, and we heard from some of the passengers on the plane. They were talking about a scary situation, some calling it a minor inconvenience. Now, Bogus didn't have a cause of what brought that plane to the ground in Regina unexpectedly, but some of the passengers say a smoky smell in the cockpit. One of the pilots apparently noticed that and made the call to land. Overall, though, Bogus says things stayed safe.
From what I understand, the declared emergency, both on a safe landing, but also the deplaning of the aircraft itself, went very smoothly. And other than, sure, some frustrated passengers not getting to where they needed to get to, I'm glad they landed safely here in Regina. We're a very welcoming airport with very well-trained emergency staff, and they were in good hands.
And actually, we just got a new statement from Porter Airlines overnight, and it confirms for us this morning the flight captain landed in Regina last night because the smell of smoke in the cabin. The airline says passengers were put in hotels overnight. You heard Bogus say that. And they are set to be sent on to Vancouver today to their final destination. So some unexpected news, some good news at the same time that nobody was hurt in that. And yeah, hopefully they had an okay night's sleep last night. Some other airport news to tell you about. Yeah, that's not the only potential trouble in the sky. Mounties say the pilot of a small aircraft that was allegedly hijacked from Victoria and flown to Vancouver yesterday, that pilot was taken into custody after the plane's safe landing. There was a report that Cessna had been hijacked and bound for Vancouver. Police say the only person on the plane was arrested after a touchdown. The airport in Vancouver says the security incident involving a small private aircraft circling in airspace above the airport shut down arrivals for about not quite 40 minutes or so for a time yesterday. Oh, 5:52 on your Wednesday morning. Hey, they're keeping an eye on the Yule Fire in Prince Albert National Park. That fire is now 31 kilometers away from the Waskasaw town site. Parks Canada's Greg Walker reminds us there is a pre-alert evacuation notice up. He says there isn't yet an exact threshold as to when an evacuation order is announced, though.
And we know this is a very difficult time for people. What we think is what's best is people have all the information. So fire's not close enough to put on evacuation alert at this time. And yet we wanted to use the first step, which is meant to communicate out that it's possible that it could happen in the coming days, and that people should be aware of that. They should also be aware that it's very smoky here, especially those who are susceptible to smoke and poor air quality.
Well, the number of active fires is going down. SASC Public Safety Agency President Marlo Pritchard, you heard him on the Evan Bray Show yesterday. He says that's only because the fire's emerging.
So although it only shows 49 active fires, some of those are absolutely huge.
There are still 49 active fires this morning, with 10 now not contained. Saskatchewan, by the way, is getting some more international firefighting help. 40 firefighters from Australia are here now, while another 40 are expected from Mexico later on this week. That is, of course, in addition to 100 wildfire personnel, and along with two aircraft from Quebec that arrived last week. The time is 5:54. Hey, if you are a TV fan, is your show nominated? The Emmy nominations are out. Severance leads with 27 noms.
I give consent to sever my memories between my work life and my personal life.
Apple TV Plus comes up big there, and as well, another show on the platform. The Studio has 23 nominations.
And I got into all this because, you know, I love movies, but now I have this fear that my job is to ruin them.
Yeah, that's Seth Rogen's new show. Rogen said the nominations are really exciting and thrilling and very validating in a way that I'm not used to being validated. Meantime, Harrison Ford just got his first Emmy nod ever for Shrinking, another Apple TV Plus show. Kathy Bates just became the oldest lead drama actress nominee at 77 for Matlock. Hacks, The Bear, Abbott Elementary dominate the Academy of the comedy categories. All those shows that I just mentioned, I have seen not a one of them. I don't know if you have now. We were talking about a little bit on the show yesterday about how it's tough now for, there are just so many different shows, so many streaming platforms, and it seems like everybody has their show now. You talk to five people, what are you watching right now? You'll get possibly five different answers. I know for me, I'm all over the map. I don't usually keep up with brand new shows, mostly because I think, like a lot of us now, I just don't have the patience. If it's a cliffhanger, you don't want to wait, you know, a year or 2 years or whatever it is for a lot of these streamers. So I'll just wait until the show's done and then I can just watch it all. There's no waiting. Right. 6:14. We all love shows, movies. We love stories. But how we watch continues to evolve. A lot more of us are watching streaming services now versus traditional broadcast TV. The numbers are starting to back that up. But look at how many of the freshly announced Emmy nominations are from streaming services. At theaters, it's been up and down over the last number of years. It looks like things are picking back up now. Joined this morning by our resident movie expert, Brett Buster, to talk more about this morning.
Morning, Kevin.
We're not talking this morning about one specific movie. We are talking about a rebound in the entire industry. And for the first time since 2019, as we've been telling you about in the news, Canada's largest movie chain, Cineplex, has made at least $50 million in each of the 3 months in a quarter. That hasn't happened in, what now, 6 years, but it just happened again. Are we back?
I think we're getting close. I mean, there's certainly a lot of big ticket movies. They're always shooting to get the biggest ones in the summer. So, I mean, we already had ones like F1 and Lilo and Stitch did very well. You know, the How to Train Your Dragon remake. Yeah. You'll notice the theme here. It's a lot of remakes and IPs. Although F1, you know, that's like the first
original.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it cost a lot of money because Apple put way too much money into it. So I don't think it's profitable, but the theaters are, and people are really craving that big experience. So I think we're definitely getting close. And this was like one of the best Julys on record we've had, like three major blockbusters, starting off with Jurassic World Rebirth, which, you know, got so-so reviews, but people saw it. And then you had Superman last week. And then next week we've got Fantastic Four. That is unheard of to have that many tentpole films so close together.
Yeah, Cineplex, Cinemedia, you got to believe all the other chains, Landmark, are doing well. And even some of the local theaters too, Moonlight and the drive-ins.
The drive-in, yeah. They can show the new movies at their drive-in.
It seems like these family movies are what help make them this money.
And I think that's unfortunately the trend that we're just going to be stuck in for the next, I don't know, it feels like it's already been going on for a decade. We're just going to remake every Disney movie you've already seen, and we're just going to have sequels and sequels. Because that's unfortunately the way the theaters have gone, is people just want to go see a sure thing. They don't really take as many risks with original films, which is why you're seeing such great profits now.
Brett Buster with me this morning. So what we just talked about, does that mean the future of movies over the next, you know, couple months, couple years, decade are going to be more remakes, more sequels, more superhero movies?
Yeah, I mean, there's no stopping the superhero train. Yeah. That thing's been going
clearly
going now, steady. And every studio wants to have their own, you know, characters out there. So, and even if they have to create original characters or just go to different comic books. But looking at the rest of this year, it is chock full of sequels. I mean, obviously, like Wicked 2, you've got even like movies you didn't think needed a sequel, like that action movie Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
Right.
That's getting a sequel.
Shot in Winnipeg.
Right. The Bad Guys 2, you know, it was a decent animated movie. Did it really blow down the doors at the box office for DreamWorks? I guess so. We have a sequel coming out. So I do say I have two minds of it. I don't love it because they get all the attention and it's like I don't need to see How to Train Your Dragon. Like I already love the first one. It's a perfect movie.
Yeah.
And it's only from 2010. However, if these kinds of movies are keeping the doors of the theaters open so I can go see the more original, unique stuff, then I'm all for it. Because at the end of the day, I want to see movies in a theater. I don't always want to wait for them to be at home. So if a couple remakes and sure things for the audience come out, then so be it.
Theaters now, chains of Cineplex, Landmark, they're all doing it. It seems like they're offering, or they're trying to offer, a unique experience that you can't get sitting at home streaming it. I think in some theaters across the country, not really around here, but I think in like Toronto, for example, they have screens on the sides as well. So you're looking, yes, at the screen in front of you, but then you have kind of like in your peripheral, you have these screens on the side trying to almost create that 360, but it's all trying to get more butts in seats.
Yeah, I've heard of those. I would love to try one just to see what it feels like. I feel like I would almost feel like I'm at a theme park watching like one of those like virtual reality kind of rides, like where it's all around you. I think it could be cool. Then there's also, you know, D-Box has been around for a while, where you see interacts with the movie. And of course, there's just like, you know, better sound and better picture. They're trying everything to get you in the theater, as they should, because one thing we learned from the pandemic is how quickly they were going to narrow that release window. I mean, some movies are only in theaters for a month now, and then you can already watch them at home.
Yeah.
So if whatever it takes to get the audience back to the theater, the habit of finding the theater to be a special thing is a good thing. And I'm happy that Cineplex is reporting such a great, you know, fiscal.
Thanks for your time this morning, Brett Buster.
Thanks.
That is our resident movie expert, Brett Buster. Was at Douglas Park last night watching a little bit of ball, and lots of sweaters, lots of jackets, lots of bunny hugs, including myself. Not too often in the middle of July, it gets cool enough that you have to throw those on. And today looks like it'll be pretty similar, at least this morning, certainly. Speaking of ball, the Home Run Derby kind of, well, continued at the MLB All-Star Game. The game had to be decided by a first ever swing off.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing off. Oh.
With the hat trick. Look out, Chop House. National League takes the lead 4-3.
Unbelievable.
And no game or All-Star game has ever ended like this until last night. The National League had been up 6-0. The American League stormed back and tied it up at 6 after 9 innings. But learning from the past, there was no way this game was ending in a tie. Nobody wants a tie. So they had a home run swing off to break that tie. That's right, the hockey shootout of baseball, I suppose. Each league picked 3 players. Each of those players only had 3 swings. Whoever hit the most home runs One, the Phillies' Kyle Schwarber launched dingers in all three of his swings, one of which you just heard. The NL didn't even need its final batter after him.
Aranda slices a fly ball to left center field, headed towards the wall, but short, and the National League wins it in the first swing-off.
Yeah, the NL wins the swing-off 4-3 in a game that technically ended 7-6 for the National League. Now, in case you're wondering, this swing-off wasn't just thought up on the spot. It was put in as part of the current collective bargaining agreement, but never needed until now. That has to be the best ending to any All-Star game ever. The swing-off. Everybody likes the home run derby? Just continue it, if you can, to a certain degree. Hey, we should use this for other aspects of life when two sides are deadlocked. They can't make a decision. You just do a swing-off to determine who wins. Can't agree on what's for supper? Swing-off. Where to go on vacation? Swing-off. Politicians disagree on policy. How do we move forward? Swing-off. Mark Carney and Pierre Poilievre have swinging bats. Hey, there would be no way you couldn't watch that. Speaking of Mark Carney, the Prime Minister, he's in Hamilton today, set to make an announcement related to the steel industry. Comes more than a month after U.S. President Donald Trump doubled tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 50%, while Canada works to negotiate an updated trade deal before Trump's new 35% tariffs kick in on many other goods come August 1st. Carney told reporters yesterday he doesn't think Trump will agree to any deals without including some tariffs. 980 CJME business analyst Paul Martin says it's important for Canada's response to not be too reactive, especially since the situation seems to be constantly changing. Martin says the U.S. could find itself isolated.
Yes, it's the biggest economy, but it is not the only economy in the world. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Now, Martin also says U.S. buyers could be dealing with higher prices as a result of the tariffs.